The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, April the 10th, 2015. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how are you, mate, on this glorious sunny Friday?
Spring is here. It's been a while since we've talked. Reading have managed to hold pace in that time with some fairly underwhelming results. I think we spoke just before the Charlton game, and since then Reading have picked up 2 points from nine. So, not too bad. But we're still in that semi-final. They haven't managed to get us out of that yet.
No, I mean, it's not exactly been pretty, is it? I think just waiting for that derby game to be out of the way in terms of the league. But yes, the semi-finals beginning to loom large now. I think it's been so many matches to be played in between the Bradford match and the semi-final. There's been so many league games sort of stuck in the middle of it that it's been tough to really begin to focus on it and get the excitement going. But we're nearly there now. We've got two more league games to just get out of the way first, and then we can really focus on Wembley. And you know, so I think the games that we've... you look back at the Charlton defeat, certainly the Blackpool game on Tuesday night and the Cardiff game, which was slightly better. I think all three of those, though, just summed up the league season so far.
Yeah, I mean, we'll leave the Charlton game in the past where it belongs. But talking about the two most recent games, you said Cardiff was a little bit better. Fans have been a bit divided on how good this performance was. I was of the opinion that it was a bit of a waste, really, from a Reading team that were on top against... I mean, the way I described Cardiff was, if you had to describe going through the motions, you could do little better than put a picture of that Cardiff side in, because they were not up for this game whatsoever. And the fact that Reading failed to get all 3 points for me was pretty poor.
Yeah, I mean, Cardiff were very much your classic playing with flip-flops on type side, weren't they? Just waiting for the summer to arrive. And they weren't great at all. Reading were by far the better team, I thought. I didn't think Reading were brilliant, far from it, but I thought they certainly did comfortably enough to win that game. But unfortunately, they didn't take the chances when they came. They had the goal. You thought that was going to end up being enough, but unfortunately, the one moment of quality Cardiff produced in the whole game came in the last minute, and they got a very good equaliser. But Reading were kicking themselves afterwards, and justifiably so, because they knew that was 3 points in the bag pretty much, and they didn't take it. Not for the first time this season, they just failed to kill off a side that they had on the ropes. They had the chances to do it, but they just couldn't put the ball on the net.
One of the big talking points was Steve Clarke's decision to take off a winger, Gareth McCleary, and bring on a central midfielder and Oliver Norwood, and sort of rock up with five in the midfield. Did you agree with that move? For me, I thought it backfired.
I thought it probably did backfire, yeah. But you know, if they see the game out 1-0, which they should have done, then you'd look at it and say it tightened the game up and saw them over the line. But obviously, it didn't because of the goal. But I mean, it's easy to sort of, I suppose, look at those sort of decisions from the manager there and the substitutions. But whatever Steve Clarke had done in terms of substitutions, that was a game Reading should have wrapped up long before that. They had the chances. I mean, Kwesi Appiah came on. He should have put the game to bed. He didn't. He missed a couple of really good opportunities. Michael Hector should have scored from the corner. I mean, I thought it was harder to hit the bar from there than actually score. And Reading didn't do it. And like I said, the one moment of quality Cardiff produced, it was a lesson in finishing for Reading there, because you sort of look at that goal and it was almost half a chance for McKelney. He took it really, really well. And like I said, gave Reading a lesson in finishing.
Yeah, cracking goal. From there, we went up to Blackpool, who the day before had already had their relegation confirmed. They'll be playing League One football next year, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. What was a surprise to plenty of people was Steve Black's team selection, and that directly led to the result, a 1-1 draw against the bottom side of the league, Reading managing two shots on target, that managed to concede 79 going into this game. Charles, what went wrong?
Well, it's just, I mean, first of all, it was a truly disgusting game of football. I have to say, I can barely even call it a game of football. I've seen a lot of bad matches this season. I think that one ranks amongst the very best of bad matches. It was truly dreadful, played on a disgrace of a football pitch.
Worse than Bradford?
I thought it was worse than Bradford. I spoke to Oliver Norwood after the game, and he actually thought that Bradford was worse. But, I mean, yeah, he was playing on it, so I suppose he knows better than me. But just looking at it, I thought it was an absolute shocker. Blackpool should be hauled over the coals by the FA. They should be punished. They shouldn't be allowed to play on a pitch like that, because it ruins football. I mean, you've got supporters paying good money to go through and watch that every single week. I mean, we just have to rock up once a season and look at it. But those Blackpool fans have to watch games on it all season long, and the players have to play on it all season long. And it's not acceptable for a club at this level, championship level, to play on a pitch like that. I mean, I've covered so many non-league football matches, and non-league teams would be ashamed to have a surface like that. And when you a month earlier, Blackpool have posted profits of £9.5 million, and yet they're playing on a pitch like that. There's no excuse for it. It's an absolute disgrace. And just, I mean, we talk about how badly Reading's sort of been run and everything like that recently, but you look at Blackpool and the fact they're posting those sort of profits, yet they're going down and having to play on a pitch like that sums up an awful lot.
Feel very sorry for their supporters.
It's honestly shocking. But sorry, that's way off tangent. I've been ranting about that pitch. But I do think that had a big part to play on the actual game itself, because you just can't play football on it. You absolutely can't play football on it. It was never going to be a pretty match. It was never going to be any sort of free-flowing football or anything like that. And I suppose when you're saying that, then, yeah, you look at it and say, did Clark get his team selection wrong with those sort of strikers? He said he played a pie because he thought there'd be a lot of balls bouncing around in him behind the defence, and maybe they needed a bit of pace. But I'm not sure. I thought in that it was always going to be long balls up to the penalty area, in and around the penalty area, and feeding off scraps. And you look at Pogrebniak, maybe he was the guy to sort of bring those balls down and people try and feed off him. And when he came on, Reading were much improved. I mean, first half they were truly dreadful, and they did improve slightly after the break, but it was just a horrible game, mate. It was very much one that you just want to forget about as soon as it was over. And I suppose, like Steve Clark said, it was a point. It weren't great, but it was a point. We'll go home, and that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Here's my loaded question to you: is this the last we'll see of Zach Knight and Yakubu in a Reading shirt in a league game?
I mean, if if Clark's to be believed afterwards, then no. But certainly that night, I mean, it was a shocking performance. I don't know how Steve Clark afterwards praised him to me when I said, I mean, Zach Knight had a bit of a nightmare there, Steve. And he said he had a bit of a nightmare at the beginning, maybe, but he improved and said he was very good after the break. And I'm not having that. He was very, very poor, looked horrendously ring rusty. And with so few games left between now and the end of the season, then you can't see him getting any better. And if he plays at Wembley next week, you just dread to think what Sanchez and Ozil and people would do to him. I mean, he was just kept misjudging the ball. He had no turn of pace at all to recover when he misjudged it. And it was just an awful performance. One of the worst I've seen from a Reading player for a fair while. And you've got to think and look at that sign. And I said it during the game on Twitter, that of all the mad decisions that's gone on at Reading this year, you've got to look at that signing, was that ninth thing. What was the point in that, really, when you got Jake Cooper sitting on the bench?
Yeah, and especially for a game like that, if you are expecting a game of hoofball and set piece and stuff, dude, it's a little worse than Jake Cooper, who already knows how to find the net. It's just a waste, mate. It's a waste of trying out Reading's younger players in what was effectively a nothing game, where Reading... Obviously, they are the worst team in the league. And if you're not going to play your young players against the worst team in the league, when are you going to give them that experience?
No, I completely agree. He said that he thought that because of the state of the pitch, that a more experienced player would be able to cope with it better. But I'm just not having that. I mean, Jake Cooper has done... He's had a couple of tough moments. Obviously, he had the Birmingham game where he was certainly not the only player who didn't perform that day at St Andrews. But so he's had a couple of tough moments this season, as you'd expect any youngster to have. But he's also had a fair few good moments as well when he's been in the team. And I just do not see the point. I said it at the time when Zach Knight arrived, and, you know, I just have not changed my mind at all from the fleeting appearances that I've seen of him, that I just do not see the point of him being here and the wages being spent on him when Jake Cooper's sitting on the bench. I do not get it at all.
No, 100% agree with you. Right, let's move on from those two games then. Speaking of arrivals and departures, there have been a couple of transfer rumours. Obviously, the transfer window looming. It's only, a couple of months away now. Reading linked with one in this week. Can you tell us more of him? He's French defender William Remy. What do you know about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I know too much about him. And my knowledge of League Two French football isn't the greatest, but he's a player that's on the radar at Reading. They are looking at Europe. I think we might see a fair bit done across Europe this summer if Reading are going to move. That it's certainly an area, a part of the world that they're focusing on, then Portugal as well. But he seems like he's got a bit of talent about him. Reading are far from the only club looking at him. I think he's certainly on the radar at Blackburn, from what I hear, and Nantes as well are looking at him. So it'd be far from a foregone conclusion that Reading will land him. They're going to have to be in a bit of a battle to get services. He's out of contract as well, which so it'd be a free transfer, which, you know, a lot of clubs would want to take advantage of that. But he's apparently a very talented youngish, I think he's 23, 24, centre back. And I mean, you look at the Alex Pearce contract situation, I think there may well be an opening alongside Michael Hector next season, and this guy's certainly on the radar.
Yeah, one person that's been linked with a move out, we talk about Alex Pearce being out of contract, there's another player who's out of contract in the summer, it's goalkeeper Adam Federici. Reports from the national media last weekend suggesting that he was linked with a move to Southampton, but Ronald Koeman, the Southampton manager, didn't seem too impressed with this rumour when it was brought up to him, did he?
No, I thought it was a pretty classless response. Actually, I got a bit of abuse on Twitter last night from Southampton fans who were saying, well, why should he know who Federici is? It's like, well, to be honest, if I had the manager in the Premier League and I didn't have a good a knowledge of football, that I didn't know an Australian international goalkeeper playing in the Championship who's been around for 10 years in England, then I'd be slightly worried. And even if I didn't know him, then I wouldn't, why answer with a straight out sort of who response? And yeah, I thought it was a pretty classless response from Koeman, to be honest. But so yeah, I mean, it's certainly, unless he was playing a very big game, sort of shot down that rumour of Saints being interested in Feds. But yeah, I think we're going to get an awful lot of this between now and the summer. Obviously, Feds is no closer to signing a new contract to Reading, and you've got to think that there's an awful lot of clubs that are showing interest. In fact, there are an awful lot of clubs that are showing interest. So with each week that ticks by, you kind of begin to get the impression that Reading may well be on the lookout for a new goalkeeper this summer.
Yeah, the way the football, so they're called intermediaries now. They're not agents, they're football intermediaries. They'll be trying to get their clients' names in the frame in certain places. You can expect to see a lot more of these stories popping up. One man who has committed his future to Reading is fullback Chris Gunter. Reading have taken up the option of extending his deal by a year. Charles, does this deal suit Chris Gunter, or does this deal suit Reading, do you think?
I think it suits both. I mean, Chris Gunter's very happy here. He's very settled. He loves Reading. Very much getting on with Steve Clark, having gone through the big disappointment of losing Nigel Atkins, who was a very important man for Chris Gunter, and Chris Gunter has a lot of respect for him. But he settled again under Clark, despite losing the captaincy, and he's very happy to stay. I mean, I think Clark came in, and for Reading, I think it certainly suits them. Obviously, they've got a hugely experienced right back, international right back, one of the most consistent defenders in the league. He had a bit of a sticky spell the first half of the season, I suppose. But I still rate him, as he would walk into pretty much any other Championship side. And if Reading weren't to take up that option, he would have walked away for free and walked into most clubs this summer. There would have been a huge list of teams trying to get him. So I fully back Clark's decision. Apparently, as soon as he came in, he said and saw that there was an option that the club had to take it up. He said the first thing he did was walk in to the powers that be and said, you've got to take this option up. And they've done it. And Clark's delighted. Gunter's delighted. I'm delighted. And I'm sure most of the Reading fans are delighted, because, like I said, you're not going to get many better right-backs in this league than Chris Gunter.
No. Do you know if there are any discussions about a longer-term contract, or is this something that they'll leave now?
No, I think they'll leave that now. This was one that was on the table. It was easy to be done, and it was done. I mean, to be fair, Chris Gunter didn't really have a choice about it, even if he didn't want to stay. It was Reading's option to take up, and they've done that. I mean, what's to say that they might sell him in the summer now? They've taken up, at least they can get money for him, I suppose, and not lose him on a free. So, in a way, you know, it shows. One thing you look at Jem Karajan's got the exact same thing, and he hasn't had that contract taken up, that option taken up yet, which is, for Jem, maybe it's the writing could be on the wall that Steve Clark's come straight in and got this one done with Chris Gunter, but Jem's still waiting.
Yeah, and not played at Blackpool either. I thought that might have been a good chance to give him a game. It'd be interesting to see.
Play at Bournemouth on Tuesday. Yeah. Against Bournemouth on Tuesday, you've got to think, if he doesn't play in that game, then the signs are very worrying for Jem.
Indeed. We'll come on to that Bournemouth game in just a minute, but just before we finish rounding up the news, then good news running off the pitch as well, with playing permission given for them for the new training ground at Bearwood. Chelsea's seen the plans. They look fairly impressive.
They do look fairly impressive, apart from your looks like.
I did think it looked like it was in a swamp.
It was quite a strange picture. I was saying it kind of looks like a nice meadow or something like that.
That's not in Reading. Wherever that picture is, it's not in Reading.
And there's a building plonked in the middle of it around the long grass. I'm not sure they're going to play much football on that grass. But no, the plans do look very impressive, and you know, it's very exciting for the club, and it's. For the academy, it's huge, and obviously for the club, the academy is huge. So it's a great thing. what interests me now is, I mean, the plans have been approved, the planning permission is there. Now they've got to find the money to build it. I'm not sure that's going to be quite as simple as a lot of people expect. I mean, there's going to be money from the sale of Hogwood when they do that, but I still think they're going to have to find a fair bit of money to do it, and I'm not sure that's going to be precisely, you know, very, very easy. I'm not sure the club know exactly how they're going to go about that yet. I wouldn't be surprised if we see this being built, sort of drip built. After all, speaking to Steve Clark about it yesterday, he was saying that, you know, the most important things are the pitches. We've got plenty of portal cabins. If once we get the pitches done and we can start training on them, then that's a big thing. And then you might well see building work sort of going on as and when around that. But I think the main thing for the club is to get all the pitches and the amount of pitches they need built for the academy teams and everything like that done. And then I think slowly we might see the buildings going up and around them. But from what I understand, work is scheduled to start this summer.
Wow.
We'll wait and see. I'm trying to get more from the club on that. I'm sort of requesting to speak to, you know, the people that need to, Nigel Howe, that sort of thing, to get the real sort of lowdown on what the process is now and how the club go about it and how the funding's going to work. So hopefully over the next few weeks, they'll answer those questions and we can learn a little bit more.
Yeah, I was just going to say, have you got any idea of the cost at the moment?
I mean, I keep hearing things about 20 million in my head, but I'm not sure. Wow. That's not confirmed. So, you know, don't take that as read. I think we'll have to wait and see on that one. Obviously, like I said, there's going to be a lot of money coming in for Hogwood, but I don't know if that 20 million is right at all. So I haven't. Basically, I need to speak to Nigel Howe and get more about it. And hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely understandable. If it is 20 million, they're going to have to start rustling down the back of some of the sofas at the Vodeski.
You would think.
Part of that money is going to be tricky.
You would think.
or we can expect some more Zat Knights in the summer.
Yeah, right. I mean, like I said, I think don't take that 20 million for granted. Far from it. I need to speak to Nigel Howe about it and find out the figures involved. But I seem to remember that there is in like the accounts that 5 million was being put aside in the accounts for the training ground, but then there's also money coming in from the sale of Hogwood and everything like that. But yeah, I need to nail that down with Nigel Howe first.
It would give us a much better idea of the intent and the backing of the Thai ownership, I think, as well.
It would. But I think going forward, it's so key for the club, because let's face it, Redden are never going to be bankrolled and money's going to be splashing out left, right and centre on big transfers. It's just not going to happen. So making sure the academy is strong and the players are coming through is so important to a side like Reading in terms of future business as well, because not just getting players into first team, but also producing the next Gilfie to sell on for £8 million and stuff like that, just to keep the business going and things like that. So it's a huge thing for the club, massively important.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Right, let's move on to this week's games then. We start on Saturday against Blackburn in a bit of a special game, really. It's Ryan's Royals. You may have seen the hashtag and plenty of tweets coming out from ourselves, from yourselves at Get Reading and from the club. If you haven't read this story, I very much encourage you to head over to any of the various media and check it out. It's a fantastic feel-good story. Can't spend too long here because we're running out of time, but definitely go and check it out. Charles, what did you think of the kit they're going to wear tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's very eye-catching. Yes, I know. I think a lot of people like it. It's been a lot of cool to people who would like to buy it as well in the shop. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's a very fancy-looking kit. Obviously, it's not your usual blue and white hoops, but I think for an occasion like this and for a project like this, and no one minds about that. And I mean, it's a fantastic project, and football gets an awful lot of grief, doesn't it? But I think this shows that it's a club, especially like Reading, which is very rooted in its community and in the town, that it's a fantastic project to be involved with. And great credit goes to Reading, to Jen Carachan, to the players involved to doing such a worthwhile thing. And hopefully we'll have a lot of supporters through supporting the project on the day, and that Reading can put on a show, because there's going to be an awful lot of interest around it, and hopefully Reading can put on a show that can sort of round off the day perfectly.
Yeah, reduced ticket price as well. I think it's £10 and £5 concessions, and those shirts we mentioned will be getting auctioned off for charity as well after the game. So yeah, there's nothing more I can say on that. Fantastic work from the club, players, everyone.
Yeah, it is, and a feel good story. Like I said, hopefully, I mean, Steve Clark certainly. Yeah, fantastic. I mean, like Steve Clark said yesterday, hopefully the town comes out and supports them and packs out the stadium, and we can have a very special day down there.
Yeah. On the pitch, though, there's still a little bit of work to be done. I know we've got there was a 9-10 point cushion now with six games remaining. But funny things can happen in football, and Reading just need another win or two to see him over the line. How do you see this game against Blackburn going? First of all, who will they have available? Because Nathaniel Shalaber and Danny Williams both missing with niggles. Michael Hector as well. Who is likely to be available to Steve Clark tomorrow?
Well, I'll be surprised if those three are back. Shalaber has actually returned to training, which is good. I don't think it's far from being full training or anything like that yet, but he's back from Chelsea, where he's doing rehab, which is good. It's a positive sign. I think certainly in terms of the FA Cup final, it's a positive sign. FA Cup semi-final, it's a positive sign.
Get ahead of yourself there, Charles.
Hopefully he can sort of step that up. I'd be surprised if he's, wrist or anything like that tomorrow. I don't think Danny Williams is. It's just so sore, isn't it? He's come back again from the United States with a knee injury. It's just like deja vu all over again. I mean, Clark, as I've said many times, doesn't give anything away in terms of the severity of the injuries, but he seemed a little bit angry yesterday when he was talking about that. And I said, it's his second time he's come back from the States with a knee injury. That's what ruled him out for so long last time. And hopefully it's not anywhere near as bad as it was last time. But it's I think we should, next time Jürgen Klinsmann calls him up, I think we should barricade the airport so he can't go. And the same with Michael Hector, it's a knee injury. I'd be surprised if any of those three play on Saturday.
Yeah, that would put him in a bit of a tricky situation, though, because then we roll into the Bournemouth game on the following Tuesday, and that'll be the last chance for Reading players to get some game time in before that game at Wembley. I'm going to hide behind the sofa for the Bournemouth game, because this could be an absolute thrashing. With the way Bournemouth are playing and Steve Clarke's previous of putting out weakened teams before cup games, and 4,000 Bournemouth fans there to boot, nothing adds up to good times for Reading.
No. I think that Tuesday game is going to be one to swiftly forget about. I can't, going to come here full strength with their sights firmly on the title, and Reading going to have their sights firmly on the FA Cup semi-final 4 days later, and Steve Clarke's side is going to, the side that he picks, I think it's going to show that. I'd be very surprised if he risks many of the players who are going to play against Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go on to predictions then. We took your prediction for Blackpool. Everybody predicted a Reading win. I deliberately went pessimistic and was rewarded with a draw for my efforts. Moving on to the Blackburn game then, I've predicted a 1-0 win for the home side. Johnny has gone for a 3-1 win for Blackburn, and Westy's gone for a 1-0 draw. So all of the results have been covered, Charles. Where do you stand?
I'm going to go for a draw as well, but I'm going to say it's going to be goalless.
0-0, fair enough. And then that Bournemouth game.
4-1 Bournemouth.
4-1. I think you're being generous to Reading there. I will go... In fact, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold off to the main show. I'm going to see how this one goes. Use the home advantage I've got. But yeah, you've got some work to do in these final few games, Charles, to catch up. Get
yeah.
a few right in a row, you could be there. But
I think I'm very much in the relegation zone.
Never. Never. It's fourth. It's Champions League place.
Yeah. Fourth right. is a trophy, don't you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, the way your boys celebrate it. I suppose we can't leave the show without a very brief mention then of that cup semi-final. As it edges closer, Arsenal are on one of Europe's best winning streaks. Reading can't beat Blackpool. Any optimism I had for this game is eeping away, Charles.
Well, you never know, mate. You never know. It's the FA Cup, and Arsenal have still got Burnley to play on Saturday, and they could go and get turned over at Turf Moor, and all that confidence that they've got from the last few weeks can drain away quite easily. They could get a few injuries, but you never know. Obviously, it's looking very hard. I mean, they can be facing Arsenal at a worse time. Reading really the form they're in, and I think everyone who's watching that Liverpool game before on Saturday afternoon before they went into the Madstad got a little bit worried by the way Arsenal are playing. But you never know. Like I said, I was at Wembley last year watching Arsenal in the semi-final against a Championship side, and they were 8 minutes away from going out and ended up having to win on penalties. So it's far, far from a foregone conclusion. And everyone who goes to Wembley on Saturday week may not have the faith, but you never know. Believe.
Strange things can happen.
Indeed.
Right, well, we'll talk about that game in much more detail on next week's podcast extra, as well as the main edition of the show that we'll record hopefully this weekend. Again, not got a concrete recording date, but hopefully get that in check. Charles, anything else, anything special in the road up to Wembley that look out for on the website next week?
Well, I think all systems go for Monday. It's going to be Wembley crazy. Obviously, we've got the Bournemouth game in the middle of it, but I think all attention's from, once this Blackburn game is out of the way, all attention turns to the FA Cup for a Monday. There's going to be plenty of content on the site all throughout the week, all building up to that that trip on Saturday afternoon.
I expect a Wembley PDF pullout. I can't have an actual paper pullout. I want a PDF.
A PDF pullout. I'll get on it.
Good stuff. Right. I said you can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts. Meanwhile, you can head over to thetarlesn.com for plenty more fan content, opinion, and analysis. That's us done. I said we'll see you next Friday. In the meantime, here's the 6 points. Charles, thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, mate. Speak to you later.
Take care. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.